You know, the son of Hamas is a name, you heard about him. He wrote a book. The son of Hamas is a book that's written by one of the leaders of Hamas. Then in during the first Intifada, he lived in Gaza. In 1996, this boy, when he was 18 years old, was caught and was put in jail in the Israeli jail. While he was in jail, he changed his mind completely. And he went against the Hamas. And he became an Israeli spy. He was the best spy they ever had. He had such a clear understanding of what, when he said something, it was always right. In 2009, he wrote a book that he tells the story of his life. Now he lives in America, in California, I think. There is also a movie, The Son of Hamas. You heard about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should read about it. Very interesting. And in his introduction to the book, he explains to the world why will never be peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. He said the source and the root of the fight goes all the way to the book of Bereshit, to the book of Genesis, and the story of Abraham. In last week's parsha, we're reading about Sarah and the wife of Abraham. She could not have children, and she offered Abraham to marry her maidservant, Agar, the Egyptian, for a wife.
To marry.
Basically to marry. May Abraham, like a good husband, just did what his wife told him. He didn't try to argue. He did what his wife told him. Agar got pregnant right away. The moment she got pregnant, she felt the boss. She started to put down your mistress, your boss, yep. Sarah. Sarah didn't like it. Sarah started to make her work very hard. She ran away. She's in the middle of nowhere in the desert. An angel reveals herself to her and tells her, go back to your mistress and suffer. That's your destiny. And you will have a child, a boy. And the boy, you should call him Ishmael. And I'm telling you in advance, he will be a bandit. That's the translation for the word Pere Adam. His end will be in everybody, and everybody will hate him, and they will be fighting everything. That's the prediction. And guess what? Exactly that's what happened. A baby boy was born, she named him Ishmael. In this week's parasha, we read about Isaac's birth. Miracle took place, Isaac was born, mazel tov. Isaac grows up, and Sarah realized that Ishmael has a very bad influence on Isaac. Ishmael is an idol worshiper. Ishmael tried to kill Isaac. Ishmael is, according to the Midrash, Ishmael is bad news. She tells Abraham, send the mother and the son away. I don't want them to be, Isaac should be a part of this influence. Yeah, they have to go. Abraham did not like it very much. But God interfered and told Abraham, whatever Sarah tells you, you should do. Since then, Jewish men listened to their wives and finished. As the order of the first Jew, and that's it. That's how it stuck. Abraham got up early in the morning, gave them water, barrels of water, whatever it was, and he sent away Agar and Ishmael. They went to the desert of Be'er Sheva. Ishmael got sick, got fever, and he started to drink all the water, and she put him into under one of the trees, and he's about to die. She went to a different place. She couldn't see him dying. She started to cry. An angel appeared to her and told her, don't be afraid, Agar. God listens to the voice prayer, to the boy's prayer, and everything will be good. She opened her eyes. She found water. She gave him water. Ishmael recovered. Everything is good. Ishmael never went back to Abraham's house. The next time we see Ishmael and Isaac together is by Abraham's funeral. Not like in America, the brothers and sisters don't talk to each other for 20 years, and they meet by the funeral of the mother or the father, or the brother, the same thing is there. Then son of Hamas trying to say, the source of the fight is all the way there. And don't think that it's not a fight over a piece of land. We give them money, we'll give them this. It's not going anywhere. It's a hate that goes from biblical times. This Shabbos is also going to be, is the 20th of Cheshvan in the Jewish calendar. It's the birthday of the fifth Chabad Rebbe. His name was Sholem Dovber. I named my son Sholem after him. I think he was born 163 years ago. When he was a child, who was 5 years old, he came to his grandfather. His grandfather was at that time the Rebbe of Chabad, the third Rebbe of Chabad, and he was the grandson. He came into his grandfather because it was his birthday, and he started to cry. 5-year-old boy. Grandfather asked him, "Why are you crying?" He says, "You know, I went to Cheder, and the teacher taught me that God appeared to Abraham in this parsha, Vayera, as God revealed himself to Abraham." He says, "Why God reveals himself to Abraham and not to me?" That his grandfather told him, when a man who is 99 years old makes a decision to circumcise himself, that is not complete, he deserves God to appear to him, God to reveal himself to him. That story gives you an understanding. Tell me, how many children cry that God didn't reveal himself to them? I want to know. They cry if they don't have a candy. I don't cry if God doesn't reveal himself to me. That tells you what kind of a child was there. This Rebbe, Sholem Dovber, the Rebbe Rasham, he had a brother who is older than him, 3 years older than him. And you know, they were brothers, and they were playing, fighting, you know, the regular stuff. Once they were playing together, you know, what kids play in the house? They want, let's go to play. They play what they see the parents do, what the adult do. His grandfather is a Rebbe. They decided we'll play Rebbe and Chosid. Then his older brother tells him, "I'm older, I'll be the Rebbe, you're the Chosid." Right? The older brother sits in a big chair, is the Rebbe. And his younger brother comes in and tells him, you know, he comes to him, he says, "Rebbe, I need a tikkun." A tikkun means I need a correction, I need to fix something. I have to do tshuva, I have to repent for something. What you did wrong? He says, I ate walnuts on Shabbat. Now, there is nothing wrong with eating walnuts on Shabbat. But Chabad is strict and not opening the walnuts, cracking the nut. Why? Because it's a whole thing. It's an extra thing. That's the bottom line. The world is eating walnuts on Shabbat. Chabad does. This boy tells his Rebbe, "You know, I ate walnuts on Shabbat. I need a tikkun. I need to correct it. I need to do something. I need to fix it. I need to do tshuva." His brother answers him, "You know what? From now on, you should daven from the Seder. You should read in the Seder when you daven. You know, when you grow up in a cheder, in a Jewish in a day school, many prayers you know by heart. You see, prayers that you know. Then what's the easiest thing for adults? They pray by heart. It's easier. The problem with it is, when you pray by heart, you skip. That's problem number one. Problem number two is you're not concentrating. Your eyes go all over, you look at this, you really say the word. When you look in the Seder, you're concentrating.
Yep.
He told them, your tikkun is to read from the Seder. From now on, to daven from the Seder. To pray from the Seder. Okay. A while later, his mother asked him, "Why you don't do what your brother?" She knew the story. Why you don't pray from the Seder? He said, "You know, didn't your Rebbe told you to do it?" The younger brother says, this Sholem Dovber says, "He's not a Rebbe." She says, "Why? What do you mean he's not a Rebbe?" She says, "When he tells her, when he gave me the advice, he didn't give a krechts. You know what a krechts is? A sigh. He didn't hurt him. It didn't bother him." He says, "It's not the advice that helps, and the krechts that helps."
Yep.
This child was 4 years old or 5 years old, and an unbelievable observation here. When a chassid comes to a Rebbe, it's not about the advice. It's not a psychologist tells him to do the ABC. It's not a doctor that tells you, here is a medication, and go take an x-ray, and then take a blood test. No. The chassid comes to hear from the Rebbe that he feels his pain, and then the advice helps. But if it doesn't give the krecht, if it doesn't feel the pain, the advice is worthless. You know, many times people tell me to go to a shiva or this, they don't know what to say. I tell them, don't say anything. The person needs to feel that you feel his pain, not only sympathy, empathy, that you really care for him. That's much more important than what you say. Give him a hug. And if you're really in pain, let him feel it. Now, this Rabbi Rashab, this boy, was taller than his brother. You know what I mean? Then the older brother didn't like it that his younger brother is taller. At one time, they were playing in the backyard. The older brother digged a hole in the ground, picked up his brother, put him in. And he stood next to him and says, "You see, I'm taller than you."
Like Joseph's brothers.
Then the older brother, then the younger brother started to cry. The father came out here, the child is crying, came up and said, "Why are you crying?" He says, "He put me in a pit." He heard the story. He called his older brother and told him like this: "If you want to get taller, don't put your brother in a hole. Take a chair, take a stone, and elevate yourself." You know, people are now busy with anti-Semitism. Many people ask me in the last few weeks, why everybody is hating us? What is it? What's going on? Well, the Rebbe once said something very interesting. When you see a person is doing something better than you, you have two options how to deal with it. To learn, to emulate him, to learn from him, or to put him down. For example, when I see somebody who's doing exercise, I don't do exercise. And the right way is to say, you know, look at him. He's biking 100 miles. I want to be like him. I'll get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, I start to do exercise and this. But you know, this is the hurting part. This is hard, that's painful. The easier way around that is to say, it's all about genes. He can do exercise until tomorrow. Look, eventually he has open heart surgery. Every time when I see one of the people is doing a lot of exercise, having open heart surgery, having this hip surgery, I say, you see, no, what took you? Where it took you the whole day? Nowhere. It didn't help you a thing. It's a waste of time. Nothing will help you. You see, that's the difference. The same thing is with anti-Semitism. The Jewish people have conscience, have a moral conscience. They're more moral. They care for the poor. They accept, they establish families, and they live nice with the spouses. They raise good children. They become lawyers and doctors and successful people. They know how to save money. They're not addicts of any kind. For sure, there is some, but in general, as a society, they give business to each other. Jews give business to each other. Now, people look from it on the outside, other nations. Some people are fascinated. You know what they want? They want to know the secret. In the Far East, in Japan, in Korea, they study Talmud. They want to know the secret. How you do this? I want to be like you. It's not, I'm telling you, I have a cousin in China. He tells me, rich businessmen came to him and told him, open a school for our children. We want our children to be like you guys. Somehow you know how to do it. Do it for us. That's what this is, the hard way, to become more moral, to become more generous, to care for the poor, to be nice to the orphans, to the underdog. That's hard. That's painful. It's not easy. The easier way is that if you don't want to do it, now you feel guilty. The Jews make you feel guilty. They have the conscience. They have a conscience. If you see a person who behaves the right way and I don't want to behave the right way, make me feel not good. It stands in my eyes like a soul. Then what's the solution? The solution to get rid of the soul. Then it's much easier to say, oh, all the wars in the world are coming because of them. They're the source of all problems. And if the Jews, if we'll just get rid of them, everything will be good. He's right. If we'll get rid of them, Hitler said, that the Jews, we have to get rid of the false conscience of the Jews. Conscience of those, get rid of them. He wrote it in his book. That's what is going on here. They want, instead of getting taller, they want to make you smaller. Instead of getting on the chair, they want to learn. But I want to tell you one more story about them that gives us a lot of strength. Once the two brothers they used to go in a lot to the grandfather and used to like ask him a question, what you learn, the cheder, and then give everyone a coin and send them over and send them. One time, when he was 3 years old, this rabbi, it was in the middle when his father was at private audience. His grandfather used to receive Hasidim for private audience. He showed up, he wants to speak to grandpa. The grandpa, you're standing by the door, told him, no, that's not time, people waiting for him. There's a list. He started to cry. And the grandfather hears the crying. He calls his rabbi and says, what's going on? He said, the grandson, the three-year-old wants to stop everything, he wants to go in. He said, let him in. He comes in. He picked him up on his laps. He gave him a big organ kiss. And then he gave him a whole bunch of coins. He walks out. He runs out to his mother to say, to tell the good news. His brother found him, grabbed from him the money. He was six. He was three, he was six. He runs to his mother. He cries, but then he tells her, he took the money, but I have the kiss. You hear? What I mean to this, you know, we are now also worried about anti-Semitism, what's going on in the world. We read the news and we get depressed. And we need to understand, maybe somebody else has the money. Maybe somebody else has the world, the power. But we have the kiss. We have the oak from God. We have, when a person puts on a talus, he wraps himself in a talus, like God wraps him. It's like an oak from God. When a woman goes to the mikveh hugs her. It's like an oak from God. We have the kiss. Nothing to worry. It's a little hard time. Nothing to worry. We have the love of God. That's written that God loves every one of us like a parent in his very old age had finally one child. The love of God we have, we are a little better. Eventually, it's going to work out.